Okay, so can you tell me a little bit about, like, yourself and how you got here in this bookstore?
Well, this store used to be a block from here, and it was called Lang's Bookshelf. It started in 1976. A JMU student named David Lang started it. And in 1978, I walked in to browse, and his wife was working, Sibby, and she said, would you like to buy the store? So I just laughed in her face. I was teaching school at the time. Or I had just finished teaching a year of school, and then a buddy of mine came through town, and we moved to North Carolina together to take over a record store, which was supposed to be coming open. And that didn't happen. So 4 months after she asked me if I wanted to buy the store, I came back to Harrisonburg and said, okay, I'll buy it. So that's exactly how it happened. I was a special ed major in college. I had no, you know, idea of owning a business or running a store. I loved books, so, you know, that was the main thrust. But, I mean, even when I paid them, you know, her husband, David, said, well, you might want to keep some of the money for operating expenses. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing.
Did you go to college around here?
I went to UVA, over in Charlottesville. So I sort of learned as I went along. And that was in 1978, and it was a block from here, and in the early 80s it moved here, and it's been here ever since. Somebody bought the building we were in, so we had to move. Or we'd probably still be sitting over there.
Well, yeah, my next question was, what was the history of this bookstore, but pretty much already answered that one.
Yeah.
So, and how long exactly have you been here?
Well, 78, 88, 98, 08, and that's 30 years. 37, 36, 37 years.
Wow.
A long time.
Yeah. So, like, what have your experiences here been like? Do you like it?
Well, yeah, obviously I like it, and I'm lucky that way because, you know, I'm doing something I enjoy doing. You know, the experiences have been many and varied, you know, 40 years of being in downtown Harrisonburg, which has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, a bit.
I mean, when I took over, it was you know, there was a Penny's, a Leggett's, a Hallmark store, a drugstore, a grocery store. And that all died off in the early 90s, and downtown kind of became a ghost town.
Yeah.
And now it's been revived through, you know, restaurants mostly. There's still not a lot of retail here.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you're in a spot long enough and people know where you are, that helps a lot as far as, you know, generating business or people know where you are.
So, do you have any, like, interesting stories or things that have happened here that you, like, remember distinctly?
I don't know. Nothing too spectacular, but, you know. I mean, I've never been held up, you know. I mean, I've had celebrities come in, like Ralph Sampson. Of course, he lives here.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, I mean, nothing really off the charts.
Do you have a lot of people coming in and out daily?
Yeah, you know, not as many as I would hope for. This is the kind of store where, you know, you walk in and you impulse buying, you know, you see something you've never seen before, and you say, oh, I've got to have that, which is why, you know, days like the homecoming weekend and Parents' Day are good, because, you know, a lot of people come in and know they'll never be back, and they see something and say, oh, I've got to have that. But, yeah, foot traffic, I think downtown it attracts a lot more people at night, you know, with the restaurants and the bars.
Yeah.
And even if I was open at night, I don't think they would be coming into shop, really. You know, they're here to eat and drink. So that, you know, that's always a problem. You know, you'd hope for more foot traffic or more sales. But I have so many, you know, customers, you know, loyal customers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if you had, like, regulars.
Yeah, and I'll have people that haven't been in here in 10, 15 years that come in just to, I think they just are checking to see if I'm still in business or still alive. And people come and say, oh, you're still here. You know, yes, I am. You know, I don't know where else I'd be.
So what are your thoughts on, like, the e-books and, like, the Kindles and stuff instead of, like, these kind of books?
Well, I can see advantages to them. You know, I mean, you can look around here and see the stacks of books, and it eliminates that. You know, you just have the one little handheld device. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't even have a cell phone, so I'm pretty low tech. I have a computer here. I don't have a cash register. I have a money drawer. You know, so, you know, I've never read a book on a Kindle or anything. I don't think it's for me, but yeah. You know, a lot of my loyal customers come in and say they got a Kindle and they're using it, but they'll pick up a book or two. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are doing both.
Yeah.
You know.
So you don't think like the rise of like technology and the easy access to those books has impacted?
I don't think it's hurt me as much as like music stores or video stores, which are gone basically. You know, I mean, the only music stores that are cropping them now are selling vinyl, which are like throwback stores.
Yeah.
But I have used CDs in here that I try to sell, and that I mean I sell more VHS tapes than CDs, and there are a couple of technology steps back from that. I worried about that. I thought, are books going to become obsolete? You know, am I going to have to go out and get a real job someday? Yeah, we don't want that. But it's probably put a dent in business. Mm-hmm. But it hadn't knocked me down for good you know. I mean, there's so many books that still get published. You know, I mean, if you go in Barnes and Noble and just see stacks of new books.
Yeah.
And you really wonder, you know, I mean, something's got to give. Well, of course, our Barnes and Noble almost closed, you know, a couple of years ago. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tricky economic world out there.
Yeah.
Due mostly to technology, you know, as things adjust accordingly to the latest invention or the latest trend.
So then, like, in your opinion, how much of an impact do you think that bookstores like this one or just all over America have on Americans?
Well, I know in Harrisonburg, I mean, people don't even buy books, come in here sometimes and say, oh, we're so glad you're here. You know, I think the concept of a local bookstore or just a bookstore in general is important to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, people come in here sometimes and take a deep breath and go, oh, a bookstore. Or I'll hear somebody walk by and go, oh, look, a bookstore. I love bookstores. And they'll just keep on walking. But, you know, I think it. People just like having a bookstore.
Yeah, there's definitely not that many. I was looking for, like, Barnes & Noble and things like that. Right. But there was no, like, authentic ones like this one.
Yeah, and when I used to carry new books, you know, my sales reps would come in and they'd say, well, I lost three more stores this week. Or, I mean, you know, that was 5 or 6 years ago, and the stores were just dropping like flies.
Yeah.
And you're right, there aren't that many, you know, independent stores. And even the chains, I mean, obviously, not Barnes & Noble, the other one that went out of business. Whose name I can't call. You know, that whole chain went belly up. What was the name of that chain? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's like great that you're still here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, I mean, not coming to work here after doing it for 40 years would seem really, I mean, on Sundays I wake up and I think, well, where am I? What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Where's the store?
Yeah. So then, like, if you had to sum up the role of this store in this town, what would you say that would be?
I think for people who can't afford to buy new books, it's important because, you know, I mean, I sell books for as little as 10 cents. Mm-hmm. And I also have books outside for free. And I have a whole clientele that just frequent the free book table, and I basically know them from the backs of their heads. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll look out and I'll say, oh, there they are again. Mm-hmm. And they rarely come in. I assume they don't have, you know, enough money or expendable cash for books. And that doesn't mean that they aren't readers or intelligent or, you know. So I'm more than happy to put free books out every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm even happier when I, you know, at the end of the day when I bring the racks in to see that they're empty. Because, you know, I mean, that's what books are for people to read. Although some people think they're to collect.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, I get so many used books that come in that you can tell haven't been read.
Do people donate books?
Some people donate, some people sell. I'm paying so little now because I've got such a surplus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes when I tell people, you know, well, I'll give you a nickel a book, and they say, I'll just take them. You know? or they'll say, well, if you don't take them, we're going to take them to the dump. So, and I get a lot from, you know, people that have had them at a yard sale and didn't have much luck or don't want to mess with them again at the next yard sale. And I think it's great that they don't throw them out, because, you know, that's a mortal sin to throw a book away.
Mm-hmm. So then would you say that, like, you're not trying to sell books for, like, high prices, you just want people to have them and...
Well, obviously I want to make enough money to, you know...
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm a charity.
Yeah.
Although although some days it kind of feels that way. But yeah, I mean, if the most expensive book in here, you know, 90% of the books in here are like $2.99 or less.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes, you know, practically brand new hardcovers and things. So, yeah, I guess I am trying to get people to, you know, provide books that are reasonable. I mean, I'm not as cheap as the library, but where they're free.
Yeah.
Except for my free book.
Yeah.
Those are the same. Plus, you don't have to bring them back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, over the years, I've thought, you know, it's ridiculous to pay $29 for a book that you're going to read for 3 hours. And, you know, I'm kind of gearing the store towards the non-affluent reader.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. And I think people appreciate that. You know, I mean, when I first started buying used books, you know, and this was years ago, you know, I'd say, well, I can give you 50 cents. And people would be outraged and say, oh, well, you're just going to sell that for, you know, and over the years, you know, I think people realize that, you know, when they've come by and gotten free books or bought books for 10 cents, they realize that I'm actually doing what, you know, what I said I was going to do. So.
Do you have any other, like, interesting facts or anything?
About the store? well, it's kept me from... like I said, I taught school 1 year, so I did actually work for 1 year in my life. But it's kind of neat, because it's like not having a job. I mean, I have to do everything. Cause, I mean, I have a couple people that will help me if I... Like when I fell off the ladder and broke my ankle, you know, two friends of mine ran the store basically for 4 months, which was good. Not really. An hour are we time-wise? Are we?
Like 12.
12, so like, yeah, more push.
What are your, like, responsibilities, like, when you come here? Like, what's your daily, like...
Well, I wake up every morning at 4:44.
Wow.
I go out and feed the horses. And then my wife comes up and we clean the stalls. And then I get here between 7 and 8. And I'm so glad to get here, because it's like my work is done for the day.
Yeah.
It's like coming to work is like coming home,
because
I don't have to do that much. But obviously I have to drag all the stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's always stacks of books that I need to go through, which is how I spend most of my time here. You know, over the last 5 years, I've started to look up a lot of books online to see, you know, if there's one sitting on the desk that's worth $20,000 that I can sell. That hasn't happened yet.
That'd be great.
Yeah, right. But yeah, it's pretty much just, I mean, every day is different, because, you know, some days I'll come and there'll be boxes piled at the door that people have left overnight. You know, last week I went through comic books for 3 or 4 days straight. You know, some days I'll be going through actual books. Some days I'm going through CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Some days it's movies. So it's just always processing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad. I used to worry about running out of books, which, you know, seems ridiculous to me now. Because, you know, I've got, I mean, at home in our dining room, unfortunately, for me, there are like 20 boxes of stuff that I need to go through, or at least get out of the dining room before Thanksgiving dinner time, as I've been informed. But we've got a couple barns at home, and I've got record albums, and I've got 8 boxes of movies in one of the barns. So I've just got like an endless supply of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The most books I ever got, a guy called me. And for some reason, he had gone to Stanton to some man's house and just boxed up all this guy's books while he was sitting there. I think he must have been elderly or something. Mm-hmm. I never got the full story. But he had like 200 tomato boxes on his carport. where he had driven him from Stanton to his house here in Harrisonburg. And then he called me up and asked me if I wanted to buy him. I said, well, yeah, I guess. So that was like three truckloads that ended up, I ended up having to take those to the house. Obviously, I don't have much room here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just never know. I mean, a week doesn't go by where I don't get four or five calls of people saying, do you buy books? You know, it's almost almost like telemarketer calls now. Yeah. I just want to go, no, and slam the phone down. But I always say, yeah, we never turn a book away, which we don't, and we mm-hmm. never throw a book away, unless it's, you know, missing pages or a cat or some other animal has mm-hmm. had its way with it.
So do you plan on, like, expanding to a bigger store, or do you just got to stay here?
Well, take a look around and try to imagine moving all this stuff yeah. somewhere. So that would be a no. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I've run out of room here. I mean, it's pretty much at critical mass. Mm-hmm. But I think if I moved, that would probably be the kiss of death. I've got a really good rent situation here. My mm-hmm. landlord has a shop over on Court Square, and he's very sympathetic and understanding and knows what it's like trying to run a retail shop mm-hmm. downtown. So, yeah, I can't imagine moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, retiring. I may have already retired and just don't know it. I mean, people mm-hmm. come in and say, when are you going to retire? And then other people come in and say, well, when I retire, I want to have a shop just like this. So, so I'm thinking maybe I've crossed that line and just didn't know it. Where yeah. I was just in here working one day and I retired and nothing actually changed and I just kept going. So, who knows? Mm-hmm. Anything to prevent having to get a real job.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, this is, I'd consider this a real job.
Oh, yeah. As long yeah, as you yeah, like I, it. I definitely stay busy. Yeah, and it is enjoyable, yeah.
That's good.
I mean, there you know, there are moments with drunks and, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm, the jail's over there, the probation office is right behind me, and there are bars everywhere, so mm-hmm.
I'm and, sure it gets interesting.
And in the summer when I have the door propped open, you know, with the acoustics out in the parking deck, mm-hmm. you know, you just hear, I mean, you expect gunshots after yeah. after every other word that's spoken out there. But, you know, you get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Is the street outside the bookstore usually busy?
Yeah. I mean, Water Street stays busy. But a lot of people, yeah, walk up and down through here. I mean, you know, because JMU, mm-hmm. you know, this is one of the paths from JMU. They don't walk up Main Street. They come up this way. And with the parking deck there, that's a big advantage.
Yeah.
Anybody that parks there kind of has to walk by the store, mm-hmm. so they're at least aware that...
That's how I found it. I didn't know where it was until I parked here and walked by.
Yeah, well, I'll have people, you know, on their phones, and they'll say, we're trying to find you, we're driving up and down Water Street. Mm-hmm. And I say, well, turn into the parking deck, because you can't actually even see it from the street.
But, yeah, I was confused.
yeah, we are tucked away. But once you know where it is...
Yep.
Yeah. We're not going anywhere. Just despite your idea that I should move.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well.
All right.
If you don't have anything else.
I don't. I could babble, but I don't know how useful it would be.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, sure, you're welcome.
Very helpful.
Oh, okay, good.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I hope you get an A+.
Thank you.
What does it